charan tivijan. My dear Lord Narsingadev, I see that there are many saintly persons indeed, but they are not interested. But they are interested only in their own deliverance. Not caring for the big cities and towns, they go to the Himalayas or to the forest to meditate with vows of silence, Maunavrat. They are not interested in delivering others. As for me, however, I do not wish to be liberated alone, leaving aside all these poor fools and rascals. I know that without Krishna consciousness, without taking shelter of your lotus feet, one cannot be happy. Therefore, I wish to bring them back to the shelter of at your lotus feet. So here, within his prayers, Prahlad Maharaj is expressing his desire to help other living entities. And specifically, we find that this mood of Prahlad Maharaj is comes after his realization that how much his spiritual master Narad Muni has helped him. And therefore it is safe to conclude, feeling the utmost gratitude towards Narad Muni for saving him, Prahlad Maharaj wants to in return do some service. So prayana generally, or as Prabhupada as it is given in the word to word meaning, in almost all cases, deva munaya, the saintly persons, they realize that this material world is a very dangerous place, and therefore they are very careful not to allow their consciousness to be contaminated by the different modes of material nature. And this is but natural for a living entity. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna gives a glimpse, he just gives a hint as to the powerful nature of this energy, this material energy of his. Durattaya. He says this energy of mine is very, very difficult to overcome. Durattaya means it's as good as impossible. And the reason Krishna says that this energy of his is very difficult to overcome is because it is his energy. And what is the potency of his energy? Why this energy of his is so powerful? Why does he call it Durataya? Because it is Krishna, because of that connection with Krishna. Although material energy is termed as the external energy of Krishna, it is still Devi. It is still his energy. And what does it mean if it is Krishna's energy? It is as powerful as Krishna has allowed material energy to be. Krishna's potency is there. Krishna's power is there within the material energy. So, when a living entity is unaware of spiritual life, In ignorance, there is no idea of the nature and the purpose of this material creation. Absolutely no idea. In fact, even for so-called spiritualists, when they do understand that human form of life is meant for a higher purpose, they get so much confused by the presentation of this material world that they think that material energy has been given as a gift for them to enjoy. You be a good person and enjoy in this material world. This is God's gift. And hence, many of them are really very much surprised when those who understand the Vedic philosophy try to renounce the material world. They say, why? Why do you want to do that? If God wanted you to renounce this material world, why would He have given it unto you? Right? And they will give some examples. Why do you want to restrict your eating habits? If God wanted that you should restrict your eating habits, then He would not have given so many objects to be eaten. So the tongue needs satisfaction, and there are objects in material world which can give satisfaction to the tongue. Why restrict yourself? Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense Krishna giving you, or God giving you, all of these objects to enjoy. He does not come here and enjoy. We are the only persons who are here. So it seems very logical that everything is meant for our enjoyment. However, we will do it in a very, very gentlemanly way. Doing it in the rogue's way is bad. That you should not do. You should not try to cheat others. You should not try to harm others. But together we can have a very nice life here. So it is so difficult to understand the very nature of material world, even for so-called spiritualists. Why is that? Why cannot one understand the true nature of this material world? Mama Maya Duratdaya. Because it is Krishna's covering potency. When the living entity decides to take residence in this material world, Krishna empowers the material energy with two specific potencies, the Prakshepatmika potency and the Avaranatmika potency. Being the spiritual energy of Krishna, the soul is naturally repelled by the nature of this material world. There is no attraction to this material world. Soul cannot be attracted by dull matter. It's impossible. Right? Just suppose that there is a room full of tigers and snakes and whatever else one can imagine, where one would not like to enter into. What is the only way, most probably, that one will be entering that room? Somebody has to push us from behind. When we are pushed and propelled into the room, there's nothing you can do. You have to be in the room. So that is called the Prakshepatmika energy of material creation. The soul is propelled into this material creation. That is its power. Although they do not complement each other, and there is natural repulsion between spirit and matter, because of the Prakshepatmika energy of the Lord, the soul takes residence here. It is pushed. Now supposing if you are pushed into the room, and you find that the room is full of all horrible things, dangerous situation in the room, the same velocity with which you are pushed, greater will be the energy with which you jump out. Hence, the second potency of this material world, called as the Avaranatmika Shakti, plays a great role. It covers the soul from knowledge of one's identity. Can you imagine this? The spirit soul forgets its identity. This is the power of material energy. She has been endowed by Krishna to be so powerful. That is why she is Duratteya. So on the path of self-realization, when the first installment of self-realization is gotten, that I am spirit soul, that knowledge is there, automatically one can see these two aspects of material energy powerfully working against one. And hence, naturally, a spiritually inclined living entity wants to go as far away as possible from the distractions of the material world. It is but natural. One will naturally want to go towards the forest or into the Himalayas or any such place which is as far away from the distractions that can mislead one on the path of self-realization. So we have to be very, very careful when we look at so-called monies and saintly persons. Only someone in the category of Prabhupada can say that, or Prahlad Maharaj can say that, I am not interested in their inclination. Most of us will be interested in their inclination. It is but natural, because we have got the first installment of spirituals of self-realization. We want to be free from this material world. The best way is to renounce it. Go away from it. In the purport, Prabhupada says, there is, however, one danger. When one begins to renounce the material world, and there is not sufficient realization of Krishna, in what way? Krishna's mercy potency or kripa shakti is not actually received by one. There is only a faint glimpse of Krishna's kripa shakti. Neha bhikramanashosti pratyavayona vidyate svalpam apisya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. So Krishna's mercy potency is there. Yes, you have done some devotional activity, you have done some spiritual activity, I will preserve it. I'll keep that preserved. It will not be lost. Now this is called mercy. Safe bank in which we can make investment. It is unaffected by any economic meltdown in this material world. So this is the mercy potency of Krishna, the Kripa Shakti. So in the first few rungs of the spiritual realization, where one understands one is spirit soul and decides to leave material distractions and just concentrate on the self within, the attitude of dependence on Krishna can be overlooked. Krishna's powerful form in the form of his Kripa Shakti can be overlooked. And one becomes dependent on one's own endeavor. We as spirit soul, we understand that we have some power in rejecting material nature and her advances. So that can make one proud of one's achievement. So this danger is being put forward by Prabhupada in the purport. Those who understand that there is this danger of ahankar, as the Bhagavatam says, this ahankar is so subtle. It does not directly manifest as pride. You cannot directly visualize it. But when a person who on the path of realization has got some pride, when becomes frustrated, this ahankar manifests in the form of anger. Immediately, frustration is manifested in the form of anger. And much of the devotional credit is burnt up by this anger. So great, great saintly persons who have made so much progress on the path of spiritual life, they get drowned in the pool of anger which is contained within the hoof print of a calf. Just so much. Small pool of anger totally drowns them. So this is called, as Prabhupada says, pseudo-spirituality. There are pseudo-spiritualists, pseudo-transcendentalists, pseudo-meditators, pseudo-monists, pseudo-philosophers, pseudo-philanthropists. All of them are various categories that distract one from the real goal of spiritual life. So in the Puranas there is a story of a yogi who had taken up this desire to be a Moni Baba. He would not speak anything, he would stay in a cave, he would not eat anything for 364 days a year. Only one day in a year he would come out of the cave to give his darshan to all the villagers around. So in a remote place, in a cave in one of the hills he was staying, and every year people would come, flock to see this great Baba, get his darshan, get some ashirvad from him, some blessing. So for many years this tradition was going on, and it is mentioned that one particular day this yogi comes out on schedule, but he finds that no one is there. So becomes a little concerned. He wonders whether maybe I made a mistake in my calculation. So he goes back to his calculations to find out, is this the day when I'm supposed to come out of my meditation? Oh yes, this is the day. So he thinks maybe the villagers have not as yet been able to come to this place. Maybe they'll come after some time. So he was waiting and waiting and waiting throughout the day, constantly going in and out of his cave to find out, has someone come? Has someone come? Has someone come? And this particular thought that, why no one has come to see me today? Only one day in a year I come and give darshan to everyone, and no one is there. This was so perturbing that he gave up his meditation and left. So this desire, or rather feeling that I am being worshipped for something glorious, is sometimes such a big obstacle. Big obstacle in the sense it does not loom in front of one, otherwise one can at least avoid it. It is a big obstacle and very subtle. One does not see it. It is like a small stone on the road that one crashes against and falls down. Just trips over it and has a big fall. So the devotees understand, or those who are really intelligent, they understand this danger. And to avoid this danger, they try to stay away from places of solitary meditation. How? By being in the association of like-minded and advanced devotees. In this way, they are assured that if by chance they get misleaded, then the association of devotees can remind them, please, oh dear sir, oh gentle lady, maybe you are diverting from your goal. The association of devotee helps us to stay fixed. They point us out, it point it out to us if we are diverting. And in such an association, when one stays and becomes fixed in Krishna consciousness, then the desire to help others increases. Because within such an association, one's natural attraction develops towards those who help us on the path of Krishna consciousness, the Guru Varga, and seeing the nature of their compassion, one's heart becomes imbued by such compassion, and one wants to distribute that compassion to the other living entities in the form of giving them Krishna consciousness. Para-artha-nishtha. Para-artha-nishtha means, artha means something which is very relishable, something that is desirable, something valuable, artha. Para, others, somebody else's. So para-artha means someone else's interest. So that interest, nishtha, the nishtha or the fixed desire to help someone get benefit, the determined desire to help someone get benefit. So what is that benefit? So interestingly, this is very, very interesting how word-to-word meaning has been given of this para-artha-nishtha. Interested in working for others by giving them the benefit of Krishna consciousness. So we all know that. However, there is a little clause attached to it. You know, conditions apply, or sometimes there is an additional clause to a statement, and this clause is so important. So translation says, interested in working for others, that's all right, preaching, by giving them the benefit of Krishna consciousness movement, which means having the temple, making it very good, having a nice devotee association which is very attractive, keeping up good standards. All this is included in giving them the benefit of Krishna consciousness movement. And the additional clause is by enlightening them with Krishna consciousness. So desire of helping others by giving them the benefit of Krishna consciousness by enlightening. So this is not a passive process. Each and every one of those who have got the benefit of the Krishna conscious movement, it is their responsibility, every single individual's responsibility, or at least it is expected that out of a feeling of gratitude, we try to enlighten others with Krishna consciousness. Some active process has to be rendered. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And Prabhupada here says, this is the movement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he requested his most intimate devotees, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, to go house to house, door to door, and give people Krishna. Bolo Krishna, kaho Krishna, laha Krishna naam. Please speak the name of Krishna. Please talk about Krishna. At least once chant the name of Krishna. Krishna mata, Krishna pita, Krishna dhana pran. This is so difficult to understand and also preach. But if one can do it, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becomes very happy. So Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went out preaching. They met the great Jagai and Madhai. And the first time, they had to run for their lives. You know, they were running away. Jagai and Madhai was saying, hey, wait. We are just going to beat you, that's all. Nothing more. And they are running and running and running. This is a very nice incident in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And I'm speaking short. They approached them. Please take the name of Krishna. So these people became so angry, they started running after them, they wanted to kill them. Somehow they escaped. And they came back to give their report to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, because Nityananda Prabhu has glanced and he has desired that they become Krishna conscious, very soon they will be participating in the Sankirtan of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So that is the Kripa Shakti. Just because a pure devotee has glanced. So The bearers of the Krishna consciousness movement, they carried at glance. Srila Prabhupada told his devotees once, what will your preaching, 10 minutes or 1 hour of preaching do? But if they have a book, then their lives can be changed. So that is a glance, the kripa that all of us have. We have received the glance of the devotees, advanced devotees in the parampara. So we can carry that glance and give it to others. This is what my spiritual master has given. So the next day, they were again going. So Nityananda Prabhu took out his laptop and he made a Google search. Where are these two people staying? You know, GPRS system, geographical positioning system, and he detected, they are roaming around the banks of the Ganga. So he took those particular routes, those particular lanes that led directly to them. And Haridas Thakur was pulling at his dhoti and saying, no, please don't go there. But they went. And this time, actually before that, Haridas Thakur was reporting to Advaita Acharya on that night when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made that statement. And Advaita Acharya, when he heard this, he was laughing and saying, what do you expect? Nityananda Prabhu is a drunkard? He's always drunk with the holy name? And these two are absolute drunkards. So naturally drunkards are going to associate with drunkards. Right? So if sometimes devotees, you know, they are questioned by ordinary people, what are you doing here? Why have you come? You go, Swamiji, go to the Himalayas. So you can say, no, we are drunkards, you are drunkards. We naturally are attracted to you. Right? So Advaita Acharya was very happy. So then they went, and finally, because of Lord Nityananda's compassion, his mood of being a servant, please take the name of Krishna. And Madhai took a pot and hit him, and Nityananda Prabhu's head was bleeding. Haridas Thakur ran away from there to call a few more reinforcements. Oh, Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda Prabhu has been hurt. But Nityananda Prabhu turned to Madhai and said, your business is done. Now you're happy after beating me. Now please accept what I'm telling you to do. So this mood of being one's a servant of the person to whom one is preaching converts the heart of even the most materialistic person. So this is the Lord's Kripa Shakti that totally counteracts the Avaranatmika and the Prakshapatmika Shakti. We have that weapon, that sword of knowledge, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prem Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurutushe Namaha. He has come to deliver all the fallen souls of this age of Kali simply through the chanting of the holy names, Nam Sankirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Any questions? Any comments? Srila Prabhupada ki Nitai Gaura Premanande.